The original plan, as promised, was that I was going to play the last quest right up until we were going to record tonight. And that was the plan. I sat down to play last night and I asked ahead of time because I saw when I opened up Tuchanka, I saw two locations and I got nervous that I was going to do things in the wrong order. So I asked like what to do. And Robinette said, oh, like you have to go to another location before that last quest unlocks. And what we just figured out before we started recording is that that last quest is actually not related to the Genophage Cure quest. It is the Turian, not the Turian, the Krogan rescue. So I did the Turian.
Which I thought you had to do to unlock the Genophage Cure.
Yeah.
It turns out you don't have to do that.
You don't have to. Those two are side quests. So I did the one, the Turian one, the Turian rescue on Tuchanka. And I just did all of Tuchanka. And then I didn't realize that I had gone straight into this. Am I a little upset that I didn't just finish it right now before recording? Yes. However, and I'm going to deeply TMI to the listeners right now to tell you about what happened to me yesterday. And that is that yesterday was day two of my period. And if you understand what that means, that means that I was in the worst possible emotional state that a person can be. and I wept on the couch in our living room so hard. And then I couldn't stop weeping. Like, I was weeping. The circumstances were unbelievable. Actually, hold on. Welcome to Dork Spawn.
There we go.
My Good. Name is Dylan. Good lad. I played two Mass Effect games.
Hello, my name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. This is Dorkspawn, a show where we play choice-based games and then we talk about them like a book club. We have just done the end of Act 1 of Mass Effect 3.
Yes, we have. Okay. I will get to all of the nitty-gritty of it all.
Fantastic.
But we should talk about the things that happen ahead of time.
I am a little sad to be doing this bit because I want to talk about what happens if you save the Krogan scouts. Did you do that at all?
I haven't done that yet.
Can you still do it? Do you know? Because I have a feeling that you can't, and that it might be a bit of a bummer.
I imagine so. I'll have to check, but
let me really quickly have a check because it's really great, and I hope you can. Yeah,
I am imagining that if I can't save them, then it was a choice between the two, which didn't
it
feel.
Wasn't.
It doesn't feel like that was the vibe I got.
No, it's not. It's you can do both. The reason why I thought it was you have to do the Krogan Scouts before you do the Genophage is because it's so intense. Like, I promise and I swear to you that I could have sworn that I did that, and then they said, okay, let's now go cure the Genophage. We can do it now. I was like, okay, good. I had to have done this beforehand. and then that's why I said to you, yeah, don't worry about it. You have to do another thing beforehand.
No, I get it.
Which
yeah,
is
yeah, yeah.
truly, if that means that you can't do the thing I want, it means I fucked you out of what would be one of your favorite missions in the game, and I'm going to flog myself.
You're
gonna
crash out about it.
I'm teetering on the edge right now. I'm really sad about it. Okay, Attican, you literally have to do it. It's the Attican Traverse Krogan team main plot progression. It unlocks the main plot mission priority to Chunker. So you have to do it. The alternative title is Attican Traverse the Rachni.
I didn't do that. And I just played through the cure last night.
Okay, I'm going to say this. Did you see Grunt at all?
No.
Because it says you have to do it. Unlocks the main mission priority to Chunker. Crazy and deeply, deeply upsetting.
No, priority to Chunker is unlocked after you get Eve. That's false. What you're looking at is false. Yeah.
I'm on the wiki right now.
I'm on the wiki right now. Priority to Chunker is only prerequisite is priority Sirkesh.
Then what is this bit saying? Unlocks main plot mission priority to Chunker. What are you talking about, video game?
Yeah, because I would be second guessing myself, because sometimes I do a side quest by accident, but this I would have remembered. And this was, 100%.
Okay, well, let's talk about what you found out. And then maybe we'll sync up at some point.
Okay, so hold on. All right, so what was the... I'm a mess because I'm thinking about the last piece. What was the first thing that you did on T'Chanka?
The first thing I did on T'Chanka is not go to T'Chanka and is go to the Attican Traverse and save the Krogan team.
Okay.
And then I went and I did the Turian platoon, and then I saved the Turian platoon.
Yeah, so the first thing I did was the Turian platoon. So I will hopefully do the Krogan thing next week, as long as I'm allowed to.
Crazy.
But yes, so I did the Turian bit first. So this is in the lead up to finding out about the Genophage cure. The, like we talked about last week, the Turian Primarch and Rex are fighting about the two things, and then they reveal to you that they both have an issue that they would like you to deal with or help them deal with. That is like that they want to talk about in private.
I am gonna jump in really quick. The acquisition is doing priority Sirkesh and then doing one of the two. You can do both of them.
But
if you do one of them, it unlocks the fact that you can do the Genophage.
That makes a lot of sense.
Which is actually horrendous. So deeply upsetting.
Okay.
Yeah. But.
Got it.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I went first right to T'Chanka because that's where I was parked right outside of, as I said in the last episode. So I went there first to the Turian to help rescue the Turians. Lieutenant Victus is like under extreme attack by Reapers, and we're kind of like, we're like digging our, not digging our way, but we're like going into like ruins on T'Chanka, like to try to find him and where he is. And we find out like just through talking to him that like he's in leading this fight, this battle. He's made a horrendous call and he's endangered all of his men in this fight to defend the Krogan world. And this is going to possibly, this is like gonna possibly fuck his entire legacy, essentially, for the Turians, is that the Turians are already, like, really, like, kind of suspicious and unhappy about the Turians defending the Krogan in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, he's made a bad call and, like, they're getting killed in crazy numbers. And so we've got to come and help him out of that. And so we're, like, kind of digging down to find him. The fights here are, some of them are pretty bad. Some of them are fine.
You get to fight a dragon, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. We're fighting. I don't know. Are the cannibals new to this scene? Is this the first time?
Yes, the cannibals are new to this. Not this scene, but this game. The cannibals are the first Reaper enemy that we fight. So they're on Earth as well.
Yeah. Oh, right. From on Earth. But they're pretty terrifying. And then the harvesters keep, like, kind of flying over and dropping down more husks for us to fight.
Yeah.
Which is very fun. I found that very fun, like, from a combat perspective. I like shooting them while they're still in the ship with the open doors.
And
killing them before the ship even leaves. I think that's really fun.
It's cool as well, because if we think all the way back to Mass Effect 1, the husks are created by these devices called dragon's teeth. And then we cut to Mass Effect 3, where the husks are falling off of these harvesters, which are Reaper dragons. So it's a cool, like, kind of through line of, like, these things are called dragon's teeth, and then maybe these harvesters create these husks. And then they found a device to kind of do it. Also, just putting in a pause, I checked. You can do the Krogan mission after you do this. Which is good because there is missions that you get locked off from in this. So I was really worried about it, but it's all good. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Good.
But you fight your way through all these harvesters. You fight your way through all these Reapers. You save a couple of Turians. I had Garrus and Eve with me throughout this mission. And Garrus is
Garrus and Eve.
Not Eve.
Edith. Eve.
No. Oh no, my not god. Eve. Not Eve.
I thought that I missed something, and Eve was a playable character, and I didn't get to use her. I was going to fucking lose my mind at you right now.
I'm so sorry. I have made a mess of your mental state in this recording.
I was not going Eve. To fully crash out.
Not Eve, Edie. Similar names, I thought.
Yes. I had Garrus and Edie for this one too. And I did no, sorry. For this one I had Garrus and Javik for this one.
Oh, fun.
But Javik didn't have a lot to say in this one. Well, to be fair, no one really did. So it wasn't that.
Sure. Yeah, I guess they have some minor lines.
Yeah,
I think bringing Garrus is really good, because Garrus brings up a lot about Turian, like, law and, like, military standings.
Yes,
which is cool, because when you're flying in, he's mentioning, like, oh yeah, if you, like, nepo baby someone, that is, like, that is a worthy Turian thing of getting fully disavowed in every way. Like,
because this is so the guy that has what is his name? I just said it.
The Turian
who we're going to rescue, who just, like, fucked the army.
Sure.
Is the Primarch's son.
Yeah.
So that is, like, what Garrus brings up is like this is a risky decision as it is to have your, like, to promote your family, and, like, that is really looked down upon as it is. Now that he's
crashed,
losing and getting Turians killed. Bad news. But we get him out of there. Well, we turn the charge of the fight, and we take out all of these Reapers and stuff, and then he actually the oh my god, what is his name? I can't do this if I don't.
I know it's the Primarch
Victus,
son.
Lieutenant there Victus.
There we go.
And then Lieutenant Victus grabs hold of like one of the Reapers to like blow it up, which is like to make sure that it goes down and blows it up.
Yeah.
And so dies in the process. And so,
well, this is the bomb, right? He does it to. He jumps.
Oh, am I mixing up? I'm mixing up this and the next mission, which is the bomb mission. I'm fully melding them together.
So you go and you find them. Then they, because you don't know why they're here on T'Chanka. You don't know why all of these Turians are, which is because it's bad that Turians are on, you know, a Krogan planet because of their history.
Yeah.
And then they say, oh, Cerberus is after a bomb. And you're like, oh, shit, Cerberus has planted a bomb? That's crazy. And it's like, yeah, it's going to devastate the planet. It's going to, like, break the core of it. And
this bomb was planted here.
And then you find out when you go after the bomb.
That this bomb was planted here years ago. Like, during the uprising. After the war was won against the Krogan, to be like, okay, if they ever uprise again, we're just gonna destroy the entire planet. Super evil and also devastating, and is like, and makes sense now why we were told this is a matter of like intergalactic peace, because if we're like, oh, the Turians and the Krogans are going to make peace, and then the Krogans found out that this was a thing that existed.
No
fucking peace will be had, obviously. So then our next mission after that becomes we have to dismantle this bomb. We can't let this go off, because now the Cerberus is trying to use this, and the Reapers are trying to use this bomb. So then we go to go disable this bomb. and this is an extra fun one, because this is the one where we have to like go kind of like activate it at different points and shit.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's really cool. This all felt like one mission. Felt like I was playing just one long mission. It felt
You're so right. Like you get the sun, then you like go back on the Normandy, and then normally you immediately go for the bomb.
Right, which is exactly what I did.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, immediately went for the bomb. To secure that. That's when the Primarch's son like attaches himself to the bomb
because it's gonna get switched off. Oh no, it's gonna get turned on. It has like a 1 minute timer to be turned on. The Cerberus activates. He then climbs on the outside and then disconnects the fuse, but disconnecting the fuse means that he's on top of the bomb, and then it collapses, and then he dies in the collapse.
Oh my god, and it's so dramatic, and we get like this great dramatic cutscene from it, and then like back on the Normandy afterwards, it's like you talk to
screaming at each other.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so intense. Because everyone's mad, but then it's just like, hey, like, he lost his son today to right this wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
let's pack it in a little.
Pack it in.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, then what's next? After the bomb, what was the next and thing that happened?
And then, after the bomb...
After it,
I had a minor thing where I talked to Liara. Liara came into the ship, and this might be a romance thing, but I'm not sure. She said that she's creating a record of the war, just in case we lose. And even if we win, the idea is that it's going to be... It's going to last until the next cycle. So it will last at least 50,000 years in the future. And she wants to give the people in the next cycle, if we lose, the best chance possible. So she's writing, like, this is what we know about the Reapers. This is what we know about the Protheans. This is what we know about everything. And then she comes into your room and she's like, I would like you. I'm putting you in this. You are the main focus of this. What would you like written about you? And then I said, just be so honest, like... Be brutal about, like, all of my faults and everything. People need to know who I actually am.
Fascinating. Yeah. I don't know. I'll check to see if that's a romance unique thing, because I might just be behind on you with Liara conversations, because I just got the one you talked about last week where she tells you about how she's going to outlive everyone. Mm. So I might just be behind on the cycle. But nice. Now that you mention it, in between here, Garrus mentions he knows where my room is. So I'm wondering if I should, if it's like a, if there's
oh,
like.
Oh, shit. Because this was Liara saying, can I meet you in your room?
So okay. So maybe that. I should go to my room and maybe there is a Garrus
and there's a little dog
romance
yeah.
scene happening. Okay.
That would be cool. Okay. So in the meantime, I went to the Citadel. I did a shit ton of Citadel stuff. I did that mission with the Hanar.
Okay.
Heartbreakingly, because we found out what happened for people who aren't on our Discord. We found out what happened because Dylan did the comic for the first game. Dylan accidentally loaded that save into Mass Effect 3 rather than the actual save.
Yeah, it's for the first two games, so it does have both of the storylines from the first two games.
Fantastic.
It's not just the first game, it has all of that. So it has my Garrus, that's why I didn't notice, because my Garrus romance, my choice for Captain
Anderson.
Most of my stuff is there. It's just that apparently what I was looking up is that in the comic, they don't give you the option to save everyone. Your options, because it's not like really like a choice. You are making, like in the Dragon Age one, you just make choices. In the Mass Effect one, you're kind of like picking obscure things and it makes a choice for you.
Sure.
And what it does is if you prioritize saving all of the crew and you've done everything else right, then a small number of your
team
die. And if you prioritize saving the team, a small number of the crew die. And so it does that. And then if you make other choices, more people can be dead. But it doesn't give you – there is no option by playing the comic book – version to have everyone be saved.
So I did the Hanar is informing the Reaper mission. I did that mission has Kasumi in it. She is like the main point of contact throughout that mission. When you're dealing with the Hanar at the end, she runs in, she begins to disable the bomb, and then she explodes and dies. You don't get a choice in killing the Hanar because the Salarian just does it. But then it is a fake out because the Salarian's been after Kasumi for years, and then sees her dead and is like, shit. I mean, it turns out that she probably wasn't as bad as I thought she was, leaves, and then you say, okay, you can come out now. And then the dead visage of Kasumi fades away, and then she like uncloaks herself and she's like, damn, how did you know? And it's like, hey, listen, I know enough of your tricks.
I know, yeah.
And then you like kind of shoot the shit and she's like, okay, I'll join you. She doesn't join you, but she's like, I'll help with the war effort. what, like, she's like, I'm not a fighter. I don't want to be doing this. And it's like, yeah, but you're a great tech expert. Like, we can use you to hack into things and move stuff. And she's like, fine, I'll do it, I guess. And then she joins you, which is cool. I did what you were talking about. I walked around a bunch. It's really fun walking around the Citadel because so many people are having these conversations about like scared of the war. And then you can interrupt and you can like give someone an opinion. And most of the time you're just interrupting people's conversations. And as you walk away, they're like, who the hell was that? And then one of them is like, oh my God,
that's Commander Shepard.
That's Commander Shepard. Who just did that. Yeah. And they're freaking out, which is really fun. Liara asked me to meet up with a Volus who has been working for the Shadow Broker for years. And it's really fun when you ask him, when you talk to him about like getting a bunch of mercenaries to help with the war effort, because.
Is this the Volus that's on the Citadel?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also talked to him too. And you can't do that, the full quest. And this is the one you can't do until after we do priority to Chunka.
Oh, interesting. I could do it, but so
maybe I'm talking about something different.
This is just, it's literally just a single conversation where it's interesting because he is saying like, because you're like, oh, I know you work for the Shadow Broker. And he's like, yes, I do. And then he's like, oh, the Shadow Broker, he really appreciates what you're doing for the war. And he definitely has your back. And it's so funny having Liara next to me. And he's like, yes, the Shadow Broker, he, him, I think he's pretty big into your war efforts. And it's like, yeah, I think so, buddy. I think my wife is pretty excited about helping me with this war. Thank you so much. It's very fun.
Okay, different. This is different. Yeah.
Seeing all the refugees is fun. You see Garrus like trying to help out all the Turians.
Garrus helping the refugees. Yes, I did do that.
Which is really cool. You see a lot of Batarians in a way that I think is really crazy, because the Batarians seem to have like their own area. And the reason why the Batarians have their own area is because 6 months before the events of now, when everyone's displaced, you displace every single Batarian by destroying their main planet. Pretty horrific, but you're walking around and it doesn't seem like there's any bad blood there. No one really seems to pay attention to you, which I'm kind of happy about.
Absolutely fascinating from Ani's perspective. Well, yeah, because the Batarians slaughtered her entire homeworld.
Holy shit.
And everyone except her.
Crazy.
No bad blood
at all. I also met an ambassador. His child is MIA at the minute, and I'm gonna go help him out. Blasto 6 is coming out. There's a poster for Blasto 6.
Blasto, I don't think I got this.
Oh my god. Blasto 6 has a fun tagline. I can't remember, but it is Blasto, who is a Hanar. It's a set of action movies with a Hanar, but it's a Hanar and an Elcor teaming up to do an action movie together.
Where are my Elcor? I need Where are they? Elcor!
My beautiful guys. Okay. And then after that, I did started doing T'Chunka. Unless you have anything else to say.
No, I didn't do anything in between. Most of my Citadel stuff.
I didn't do anything in
between.
I did all this beforehand, but this is the only time I've been able to. I'm just going to jump in while I said. So everyone finds out. This is Rex, Eve, and Morden.
Yeah.
Find out that the thing that originally dispersed the Genophage is called the Shroud. That is their way to redisperse the cure to the Genophage. Morden has been doing a lot of work behind the scenes for it.
He took a sample from Rex. Rex says they shouldn't be taking samples from there. Or something like that. It's a really funny comment about where the sample. It was actually in an ambient dialogue. Rex pulled me aside and was like, yeah, about that. He took his sample. Why did it have to be from there? And like, sorry, buddy.
And then before you go and put this Genophage cure, you're going with like a full unit. This is the mission. You're going with a full, like, you've got like some Turians helping you. It's almost entirely Krogan. You have a couple of jeeps that you're like driving to the shroud with. Before you go, you get a comm from the Salarian Dalatras,
Who didn't want us to do this in the first place.
She also, in interesting bits of dialogue, she is crueler than her previous council member, the ones that we killed. She actually thanks me for putting her on the council, thanks us for putting her on the council, in a later conversation. In this conversation, she says, so, we cannot let this happen. I'm asking you to lie to Rex and deal with Morden. She fully implies if Morden isn't going to come to us, because you say Morden's not going to, he's not going to not spread the cure. And she says, well, deal with him then. Says that she will not give Salarian forces if we cure the Genophage.
Right.
Which gives us the option to lie to Rex.
She explains is because the Shroud was going to be a way that they could, like...
Well, it was the way that they spread the Genophage originally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that they could... wanted to... Isn't it that they wanted to redistribute it or something like that? They wanted to use it again? Isn't that?
I'm not sure. I miss all the things when I'm writing at the same time.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think it was that they wanted to like reuse it or something, and them finding out would have been, they didn't want people to find out. I don't know, something like that.
So she gives you like that
choice.
She's like, Rex will never know. The Krogan will never know. They'll just think that the Genophage doesn't work. Morden will know, and you have to deal with him if you're going to do this. And then as you're getting ready, Rex is like, hey, so a Reaper has turned up near the Shroud. And everyone is like, we're going to have to kill a Reaper. We're going to have to kill a Reaper to cure the Genophage. That's the only way this is going to go down.
Yeah.
And then boots on the ground, baby. You
Wait,
land.
Before boots on the ground, on the ship, right about where right before we're about to land, Eve looks at Shepard and is like, hey, you okay? You look stressed out. And I have the option to be like, to say something about the Shroud ahead of time to her. I choose it. I go, I got a call right before, and then we get hit. And that's when we learn that there is a Reaper.
There's
basically
a Reaper in it.
The thing. It's cool. So you're like about to confess this to her, and it gets totally interrupted.
Yeah.
And then we land boots on the ground.
Yeah. We land boots on the ground. This is an, I'm going to say this up front, outstanding mission.
Outstanding mission. Top to bottom. So
good. The whole thing is absolutely phenomenal. A thing that I would love to do, actually, this might be a Patreon thing, is I would love for us after we play Mass Effect 3 is to be like, the BioWare suite, the Dragon Ages, the Mass Effects. Let's talk about what our favorite missions
are. The best missions. Oh, 100%.
Because this might reach up there. This is a good mission.
Yeah.
You land. There is a lot of Reaper stuff. As you're running around, the Reaper like destroys. You just get jumped by a bunch of like Reapers, and then Morden and Eve drive away.
Yeah.
Because you're like, it's more important that you guys get to the Shroud. Go, go, go. You then find a tunnel.
We go underground in some ruins onto Chonka.
Yeah, and then you find some ancient Krogan ruins. You go into an old Krogan civilization that has been abandoned for thousands of years.
Yeah, and we find out evidence down here that there is, oh God, what is it called? That there is a, there's signs that there is a, like, a creature that is like a huge.
There is a Thresher Maw.
Thresher Maw
called Kalros.
Yes.
This, like, the mother of all Thresher Maws is nearby and live nearby these ruins. Fucking cool.
We're
also finding art. We're finding art. Krogan yeah. art, which you comment, I didn't realize they could do that. And then it's like, because none of them do anymore. They've been on survival mode for thousands of years.
Exactly, because they've been under military, like, attack for so long that, of course, they are a military people. Like, yeah. they are... It just reframes the entire thing as, yeah. like, the entire thing we've been told is that Krogans have always been a militaristic people or whatever. And yeah. that, no, obviously not. Obviously they had
other things to do. And religions and people that they cared about. And, like, and you're seeing this through these beautiful ruins. It's given Krogan this real dwarf vibe.
Yeah.
The way that they make
yeah.
like their structures seem, it's like strong and art deco and bold, and they're all very like Ozimar underground and stuff. But then as we're walking around, there is full earthquakes, and we're like, yeah. oh shit, hey Rex, there's earthquakes. Go, there's like earthquakes. We need.
Are
to
you feeling careful. This?
And Rex he's is like, no, nope, I don't feel anything.
That like, must ooh. Be her.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
oh,
what?
Shit. you then like climb your way out. You're fighting a bunch.
Oh, we see plants. Sorry. I know you were just about to say that. Probably
no. Please, oh, no. Go.
But we come out back on the other side, and we see like plant growth cracking through the mountains of this place. And,
yeah.
And we call back up and kind of report this, and they're like, yeah, like this planet used to have wildlife yeah. too.
Because everything we've seen is ruins, but not in a like a fantastical, these are ruins of an ancient civilization. It's ruins like there is rebar
war.
And broken stuff, and it is
yeah
war-based.
War happened here,
and
yeah.
it is a dust bowl of a planet. It's all we know, and it's all the Krogan know as well. It was one of Rex's first comments when you get onto Sirkesh, is Rex was like, oh well, obviously the Salarians are going to be weak, look at all these plants and waterfalls. And then you're walking around these ancient ruins, and it's like, you also had plants and waterfalls.
Yeah. yeah.
When you first climb out of these ruins, you're like still in the ruins of the civilization, but you see like the shroud in the distance. The sun is stunningly pretty.
Oh my god, pretty.
It's so beautiful. It has like, it's just like has all of this like aether kind of being pulled toward it. It looks beautiful from like when you climb out. You see the shroud, a giant reaper, like climbing around, and you're like, fuck, we're gonna have to fight that eventually.
Yeah.
Then as you're fighting reapers, as you're crawling your way through the shroud, oh my god, there's another earthquake. Oh my god, there's another earthquake. And then
and then she comes.
See this giant Threshamore like break a bridge in front of you, and you're like, fucking hell, we have too much to deal with right now. We don't need to deal with the mother of all Threshamores. Threshamore, which we didn't do this in Mass Effect 1, but you can fight a Threshamore in Mass Effect 1, and it's a really cool, like, and we did fight one in Mass Effect 2 though. Mm-hmm. when we were doing a Grunt's mission.
Yeah.
It's a cool giant snake insect.
Yeah, yeah, like kind of like a like sandworm kind of vibes,
yeah,
but like
yeah.
but like really colorful and beautiful in not like in a sandwormy way. But yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's excellent. We have to get and defend. This is like a lot of like, again, like just defending from hordes and hordes of different Reaper enemies, and there's a point where you are fighting, or at least I got caught in a fight where it was me surrounded by tons of those big like
The brutes?
The brutes. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And where
yeah,
I
so
was surrounded by them. And this is like the worst I've ever been like ass beat in this game. Where I was like, where I had to fully do a tuck and roll and run for my life, where I got caught between like six of them at the same time. So it's a big fight. Oh, it's a big, there's just so much that happens in it, but it's a good and interesting one as well.
It is cool. Yeah. You get to the ruins just before the shroud. And then the Reaper is like fully in front of you. And it starts firing its cannon at you. And then you're like, everyone get behind cover. And then it's blowing up cover. And Garrus is like, what cover? What are we supposed to hide behind? It's a fucking Reaper.
It's a Reaper. Yes, 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 yes. It's just lasering us to death. Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
And then Rex is like, oh, shit. We have, like, this structure has the Threshamore summoning, like, hammers. There's two of them. Go activate both of them. Yeah.
You
sprint. You have to sprint through the fucking laser beams.
You just have to run is the only thing I figured out. You just have to run. There's no way to avoid it. Yeah. You just have to go.
You hit both of them, and then this, like, summoning beacon that was summoning the Threshamores in two sound off, and then as the Reaper like charges up for another laser at you, the Caltros, mother of all Threshamores, leaps out of the sand and grabs onto the Reaper. And Eve says, like, we are fighting for our home, but this is her home too.
Yeah.
And it is an invader, and it's fuck, so yeah, good. Let's go, baby.
Oh, it's so fucking good.
Yeah. It fucking rules. The Threshamore latches onto the Reaper and then drags it like beneath the sand, destroying it as it does.
Oh my god.
It's fucking sick. It's the coolest shit ever. And then Dylan, do you wanna take us home, baby?
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
So then we've done it, right? Like, we've done it. We've won. We're the highest we've ever been. We have everything we need to cure the genophage. It is explained to us that going up into this thing, because the thing that's going to blow up and like
because the Reaper has hit it in the attack. Yeah.
And it is a big tall thing as well that like can like kind of oversee the entire planet essentially and like hit the entire planet with this cure. It's going to blow up. And there's no time essentially. It's whoever goes up to do it is going to die.
Hmm.
Morden immediately takes the role of doing that. And there is like a like what if like it do, are you sure? And Morden Solis says, has to be me. Someone else would have gotten it wrong. Chat. When I tell you that every hormone in my body... every individual one heard that sentence. They all heard it. And they all responded individually in their own unique ways. And coalescing into a nightmarish combination of emotions as I knew what was about to happen here. I got a Paragon react to just tell him I would miss him. I was like, there's nothing. There's nothing. It's giving me nothing to do. There's nothing I can do to stop it. It's just that's what's happening. Okay. That Paragon react came up and I hit it so fast thinking like maybe we could do something. No, it's just to say I'll miss you to Morden Solas, who goes up into this thing and releases the cure. And oh my god. And makes everything right. for the Krogan people, and then blows up. This is a fucked up game. It's truly a fucked up game. So now I want to paint you a picture about as I was playing this last scene, because Vidi was working on a lesson plan in his room. Vidi is our one roommate who loves Mass Effect. No one else in the house has played. Vidi had come out to like check on me a few times while I was playing. I didn't realize that was what he was doing. But now, knowing what I know now, I know why he kept checking on me to see. And as this was going on, like literally as Morden is saying, it has to be me. Someone else would have gotten it wrong. Vidi had come out to check on me and just like, I guess, saw what was on the screen and like, and just like wrapped his arms around me. Unbelievable. And then after I was like done with all of it, we're all like, me and Vidi are talking on the couch, but I can't stop there. I then like cry to our other two roommates who have no idea, who have no context for this and no, like, no emotional attachment to this game whatsoever. And I am just crying about Morden Solas, and more so about redemption and about making things right. Even if, like Morden, you think you did the right thing with the right information that you had at the time, and you are just kind of you're just doing things now because you have new information, which is like, I don't know, kind of a beautiful way to think about like people as they adapt and like can grow in their understandings of things. Like, you did the best job with the information you had yesterday. The information has changed. Do a different, better job. And I think that's like kind of beautiful. Oh my God. And then, okay. Oh, maybe I think I might have missed it. Do we see what happens to Eve? Because I got fully blindsided in that, like, happened, and then it was like, oh, here's Eve's funeral pyre, and I was like, wait, Eve's also dead? And I might have missed when she died.
I don't think she dies. I think she,
she's pretty fucking dead in my playthrough. I'm wondering if I didn't, maybe if I didn't do the fight good enough. I feel like I did a good job, but.
So Eve will die if you don't aid Lieutenant Victus in disarming the rearmed Turian bomb left over in the Krogan Rebellions, which you did.
I did.
She may also die if you choose to destroy Melian's data in Mass Effect 2.
The 2.
Yeah. which, because of your weird
save
file...
Oh, maybe that might be what it is.
It's what happened, and then she dies due to complications.
I don't think there was a choice about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
otherwise,
that makes
sense. Her and Rex go to rally all of the Krogan clans under one banner. And that's the... but, I mean, the Genophage is still cured.
Yeah, no, Genophage is still cured. Yeah. And I will talk about that. So, okay, so that's what happens if she lives. She dies. Maybe there isn't a cutscene that shows it, but she dies because I went and, like, and after Morden... like the camera kind of pans like to us at her funeral pyre, and the Krogan are celebrating, and we all give this kind of speech, like it's a lot of us talking and talk about how, like, she is the savior of all Krogan, and like her bravery on the battlefield is why we won the fight, that allowed us to spread the cure. And it ends with Rex giving an amazing speech, like a huge speech, in which he, like, says she is the mother of all Krogan at the end. And it's but his speech is, like, long, and it's great. It's really good. And he honors her, and then he rallies the rest of the Krogan to go and fight. Fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, cause Morden says to you two, like, I'm going to do it for her. And then, like, she also was dead. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is fucking brutal. This is goddamn brutal.
Yeah, it's tough. You understand why I was like, hey, I need you to finish it and then we can call immediately.
Oh, my God. I truly, if we did try to record after I was done in the state that I was in last night... Yeah, I'll tell you what. It might have been funny for about 5 minutes. I don't think I truly. I was inaudible at points. I was so upset.
Rex says that the name Shepherd is going to mean, like, family and strength from here on out. With all Krogan, spoiler later, if Eve lives, she names the first Krogan child Morden, after Morden Solas. So Rex and Eve's first child to be cured of the Genophage is called Morden Solas. For our audio listeners, Dylan is full of weeping, rocking back in the chair.
Oh my God.
So in Mass Effect 2, episode 2, 3 of us playing Mass Effect 2, when Morden Solas came up and I said, that's my fucking boy, that's one of my favorite characters, kind of full stop, you understand why I said that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's fucking great. He's fucking great. And it's just
he's
so...
really good.
Oh, it's so devastating. It's so devastating.
There's also some minor conversations on the Normandy before you start the Tuchanka mission, where it proves that Morden does improvise all the songs just to the tune.
Oh, yeah, because you get to hear him singing.
And then you have a different version. Eve of it. Says, Morden, can I hear the song again? And then he sings a different version, but about Eve.
Yeah.
Being the mother to Krogan. And then he sings a few different versions. And you.
Yeah, it's really deeply cute. Their relationship is so cute.
And they both died saving all the Krogan, curing a thing that has been killing Krogan for thousands of years. They both die saving it.
I wanted someone to be nice to the Krogan for so long. I wanted somebody to be nice to the Krogan. Even me. The game sometimes wouldn't even let me be nice to the Krogan.
And the person to be nice to them is Morden Solas. The best guy in the whole world.
The best guy in the fucking universe. What a deeply evil and beautiful man. He's so... But like... him and Eve, their whole thing where she just like... she meets the person that caused the most dramatic and awful thing in her life. And her home planet, or not caused it, but perfected it. Like, you know, yeah. Like she meets this person who is like the orchestrator of one of her people's many genocides. And she hears him go, "No, I'm gonna cure it now. I'm gonna make this right." And she goes, "Okay, that's my friend." Like, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. like that. She's so fascinating. She's such a, like, she, like, when you're talking to her about, like, gender politics on T'Chanka, she is like, yeah, no, like, we are the women of this planet. Once this is cured, we're going to take it back. We're going to take it and we're going to do right by this planet. And she has a moment with Shepard at one point where she's like, you get it. Like, we're gonna, you know, it's just like, it's a cool, like, a little bit baby's first feminism, but still fucking cool. And like, and just also then beautiful that she, like, meets Morden Solas and just is like, nah, I trust that weird freak. He's being pretty honest right now. He told me up front that he's the one who perfected the genocide. And then he told me immediately after that he's about to cure it. And I don't know. I feel like that kind of honesty is believable. And she just trusts him and then goes with it. And he just... is truthful and is like and does stick to his guns in such a dramatic way. He dies to save all of Krogan's future, and he did it because he calculated that it was the right thing to do. Like, he figured it out. And he comes from a race of people who used to lick their eyeballs.
They used to eat bugs.
And now, oh God. And now he's gone. And she's gone. And now I went back to the Normandy and I was like, this ship is fucking empty. There's no one here anymore. Morden Solas is gone. Eve is gone.
What's the fucking point?
What's the fuck? Everybody's gone.
This is Act One. Yeah, you've seen the memorial wall, right?
I haven't actually. I've been told about it. I keep going all over the ship.
When you open the doors to the floor that has the med bay. It's right in front of you. It might not look like much just because it just has a bunch of names.
Those names increase.
It now has Morden Solas on it. It would have anyone that died in two.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's going to keep, and names are going to keep adding to it. This is the end, baby. This is the end of the galaxy. We're trying to save as many people as we can. And unfortunately, Morden knew that he could survive, but then at what cost? So
at what cost he wouldn't do his no, it just wouldn't calculate to him. It wouldn't make sense.
Yep. It was truly him. He chose it. He determined that his life was worth every Krogan from here on out. And nothing else is worth it. The greatest guy to ever live.
Him and Eve were such a fucking pair.
Yeah. And you know what? What's crazy? This could have been its own game. This is that act one.
And you know what? Rex is great in this too. That speech at the end, I think, is incredible. I think, like, him taking up, like, that kind of leadership role is also, like, a huge end to his long story that we've been on. I don't know.
He does a whole, like, when he decides to give you time against all of the Reapers that are still flooding, he grabs his shotgun, sprints into the middle of all these Reapers, screaming, "I am Rex and I am a Krogan."
Yeah.
As he's fighting all these Reapers, possibly to his death, but he does end up surviving.
Right. Yeah. Rex is gone. Rex is no longer on my ship because Rex is leading his people into war.
Yep. So some minor things about Morden Solus. If you decide to betray Morden and all of the Krogan, and you decide that the genophage isn't happening, Morden refuses, still goes to do it anyway. There is a way if he is not loyal to you in two, I think, or if you harden him enough, you can, through a series of pretty horrendous things, convince him that the Krogan are going to die anyway because the Reapers are coming. You might as well leave. It's the only way to get him to leave. Otherwise, if he cares about the Krogan at all, which is almost 100% of the time, you have to kill him too. It's that Paragon option comes up, and then after that leaves, a Renegade comes up. You shoot Morden in the back of the in the back. He still activates the elevator. He still goes all the way up, and he crawls to the cure to try and get it. And then he dies just before he's able to disperse it. And then the cure explodes. So determined he is to save everyone. Yeah,
that's
so determined he is to save everyone that he will crawl on his hands and knees, bleeding out. He'd rather do that before letting his morals, letting him backslide.
We might have a guest. Do we have a guest?
Hi, dorks.
Hi, beautiful.
Hey, what's up? I saw this one leaning on the bed, and then we've got...
Hey! Beautiful guys.
I know this one hasn't played, but did witness me crying last night. That's so true. For sure.
Very excited.
It sad.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. And I just learned that it can be even sadder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, whoa. What was the additional element? If you had romance, Morden? No. What's
no, on? If you.
Hello, Vitty. So,
hi, Mom.
Hello, baby. If you decide to betray the Krogan, Morden refuses it, and you have to shoot him, and he still activates the elevator and crawls on his hands and knees, bleeding out, to get the cure done, but will die seconds before he's able to hit the button. Yeah.
So the Krogans don't get cured. You the Krogans shot Morden.
You kill Morden, and the genophage isn't cured. There is a way to convince him out of it, but it requires a lot of legwork in Mass Effect 2 to get it to happen. It's not easy, and I remember, because I was playing 3 when it launched, I remember it being a thing that people found out. They're like, oh shit, you can get Morden to live. you just have to not cure the genophage and you have to make him think that it's a completely pointless endeavor. And it's really hard. And he just sadly, he doesn't go back with you. He just walks off into the middle of the Reapers, just like, well, if I'm not curing it, then I might as well just die because there's no fucking point in this. Yeah. And then, of course, as I'm sure everyone knows, if you don't cure the genophage, Rex turns up later because he finds out and you have to kill Rex. So you would kill Mordin and then you would kill Rex afterward. It's doing Renegade and not curing the genophage is fucking brutal. It is really the game saying there is one moral option and it's to cure this. Everything else means that you are someone truly despicable. And you have to kill all of your friends to make it happen.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, it's dark. It's
that,
dark.
I mean, truly, I didn't know a lot of that. Kudos to BioWare for, like, one, I mean, kind of one, like, giving the renegade, like, giving the bad guy path, like, actual interesting elements instead of just, like, and then you shoot a guy. Like, just, like, a bad guy. Because I feel like that generally is kind of the trend with RPGs is like, oh, the bad guy route is just kind of boring. You just get to kill more things.
Yeah.
So that's deeply fascinating and rough.
Difficult. Yeah.
Deeply rough.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's the best one of the trilogy, baby. Mass Effect 3. I will fight for it.
It's like a thing I was telling Dylan about this. Like we were talking about that where I was like, the saddest thing about Mass Effect 3 is, and I don't know, spoilers, but I think it's culturally known that it's like the last 5% of that game ruined 95% of like an absolutely perfect fucking game and narrative. And like,
truly.
We were talking about like, Caleb was in town and Caleb was like, oh, you're playing Mass Effect 3? Wow, what a shame. And I'm just like, oh, Caleb, because Caleb hadn't played it since launch. Oh, Caleb, you only remember that it ended bad. Like it genuinely
you
is
don't remember
a...
all of the outstanding things leading up to the ending. Yeah.
And like we were talking about it and I'm like, Dylan, when Robin showed me, like you showed me the timeline for Mass Effect 3, I literally go, no fucking way T'Chunka is the end of Act 1. Like
It's
that early because just in my memory, it is like one huge gut punch after another. Like I was like, all of that had to have happened in the final half of that game. But no,
it's crazy. And the thing about Mass Effect 3 that I love so much is that there are three major conflicts and then each act is dealing with a major conflict. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's just so because we are now like the Krogan genophage storyline is. That is wrapped. That is done. Now what we're moving on to, very, very minor spoilers. Now what we're moving on to is the Quarian conflict. It's Quarian and Geth conflict, which is another thing that we've been dealing with since Mass Effect 1. It's like the Mass Effect 3 just does these huge plot points that we've been experiencing throughout us experiencing this story. And it's we're like, you know, trying to figure it out before the end of the galaxy happens.
I mean, like, another thing that we were talking about was I was like, I'm like, Dylan, I'm really glad that I think this is, like, the moment that solidifies it for me and for people that I talk to where I was like, yeah, you are playing one of, like, the greatest space operas ever made. Like, media, notwithstanding. Like, it is, like, one of the best sci-fi stories ever told.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's, like, them making the choice that like you cure the genophage, a character who started like who did it like makes this choice to go cure it, and he has a very complicated, interesting like reason why, and your role in all of that, and like that is one of the greatest bits of sci-fi storytelling like ever written, period. And like Mass Effect 3 is such a fucking good game.
It's fucking outstanding. It's so good. It's really, it's so special,
Oh my god. And like, okay, so I don't know if Dylan said this, but like, all of yesterday? The day before? When did this happen?
Oh, yesterday when I played this last night? That was last night.
Okay, so all of yesterday.
I did mention this, but tell it anyway.
Okay, because Dylan is not in a great mood all of yesterday and was in
pain. The audience knows I had my period.
I don't know. trying to be sensitive. So Dylan's having a bad time. I'm like, oh, Dylan, oh, I'm so sorry. And Dylan's like, I just want to play Mass Effect 3. That's all I'm going to do. And I've been like, oh my God, where are you? Because as soon as he started telling me that, like, oh, the, like, council is happening and Rex is back and they're thinking about talking about the Genophage, it has been a daily counter and check-in. I don't know if you even
You have been asking me every day.
Like, hey, where are you in Mass Effect 3? Hey, where are you? Are you doing you played? Yeah, like where? Because I have been, and I cannot stress this enough. There was a moment, Robin, I almost fucking broke it because, and it's so fucking weird. Dylan had the TV on, like in his room,
yeah.
And there was an ad playing, and it was the fucking song. The original
Modern Major General.
Modern Major General was playing.
Oh,
on the TV.
My God.
I run to Dylan's room because I go, Dylan. And Dylan looks at me like I'm crazy. Like, it's just an ad. And I'm like, okay.
That's what that was.
Because I thought you had fucking experienced it.
And had to go listen to the Modern Major General. Oh, dear.
And so I'm freaking out, all right? And I
was watching New Girl. It was...
Friends, all of you Darkspawn listeners, it has been a tough week for me, all right? It's been about a week of me just anxiously walking around Dylan like, when's it gonna fucking happen?
When is the ball gonna drop? Together.
And then all of yesterday, I was in my room. I was like doing some work. I was just kind of hanging out. I've been procrastinating all day, but I just like I would come out of my room to check on Dylan, and like I would kind of do it like, all right, oh, I'm getting a drink. Oh, I'm getting. Where are you at? And then I come out, and Dylan, and I even like I tell Dylan this after the fact. I go, you know, Dylan, there was a moment where I was like, maybe you don't want to play Mass Effect today because you seem like you're like kind of going through it. But I didn't want to say that because I'm like, well, that feels like
leading. It's a spoiler in itself. Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, Dylan. And then I walk out and Dylan is just fucking in tears. And I look over and it's the scene and I go, oh.
Oh, God.
And then I also told Dylan that this was, like, a thing that we had talked about, like, late.
Yeah.
During, like, Breakout, when you were like, oh, we're started Mass Effect, and, like, we're in it. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then we just, and then you, like, our conversation just got me really excited about Mass Effect again. And specifically, we were like, can't wait for Dylan to get to this moment. And can't wait for Dylan to get to this moment. And this was, like, a big one that I was
This is a big one. This, I think, is the biggest moment for Dylan to experience.
Yeah.
There's one other that I'm very excited about, but this, I think, is the pivotal one.
I mean, I think this was a really emotional moment for me because of like my playthrough. There's another moment that hits a lot harder coming up that I think about a lot and that I can't wait for you to get to and experience, because like that is like a moment that I go back to and like watch clips of and I like tear up a little bit. Because it's rough.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So
I didn't do that at all. last night.
But
oh dear.
No, and we were also, I don't know if you had talked about this. I'm coming in very late. Sorry, everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, you are late. Well,
but the whole thing about like, this was like a moment, you know, like to talk about like, oh my God, where are you in Mass Effect 3 was such like a fucking moment in games and with my friends and with people online.
And
it just felt really beautiful and like a such a like momentous kind of community thing of like you're kind of checking in with people over the next like, well, it's like, because it's like what, like a 50 to 80 hour game.
Yeah, so it's like a big one. Yeah,
So, like, those first 50 to 80 hours is all the people who are marathoning it. And then over the next week, you're, like, checking in with people who are playing it slower. And then over the next month, yeah. you're playing it, you're checking on people who bought it, like, a week later. And so, you know what I mean? Like, it's this, like, real Mass Effect 3 was, like, a whole, like, hey, where are you? Oh, shit. Tell me when you get to the end or whatever, yeah. right?
I mean, like, even nowadays... You mention to any Mass Effect fan, you say that, oh, it had to be me. Someone else would have gotten it wrong.
I said that to me last night. Dylan said that line to me, and I go, that's a trigger phrase.
That's a
trigger phrase.
Yeah.
You like, say that you to a Mass Effect that, fan.
Yeah. Crazy.
It had
that's
to be
so
me.
That's so funny.
It fucking, it's crazy. Right? Like, there it is.
I know. Ah! I know. That's crazy that Robin brought that up because you said exactly that same thing to me.
I was telling Dylan, I was like, I don't know, like, and a lot of, like, kind of incredible games have these moments, and I had mentioned, like, if you talk to any, like, Disco Elysium fan, you can have, like, hey, like, where was your guy at, like, during the Tribunal? Like, you just, like, say the Tribunal.
Yeah.
Everybody can talk about. You can say, like, I'm sure Dragon Age has a similar, but that was what we were kind of talking about, actually, is
the
that
Lance
you were, like,
mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were saying, like, Dragon Age has so much...
Oh,
so much variety
yeah.
in its foundation that, like, we kind of... You're having a very unique experience with Mass Effect that doesn't
yes.
feel the same.
Well,
because
I was saying...
Which I thought
you
was
go. No, I want you to go. I want you
what
to.
I had said to Vidi last night was I feel like Dragon Age, but particularly Dragon Age 1, had so much choice that the choices were about defining your character more than, like... And like defining your character and then defining the world as a whole mm-hmm. that like this, like multiple like episode arc, like over the course of these games, what you get, in Mass Effect, like you just get these like, fuck, what did I say last night?
Well, it was like, you kind of compared it to Game of Thrones. You compared it to, I don't know if that's like what you mean, but it's like these like, you get these moments where like you sit with like the characters in a...
For longer.
And you, that's what you meant,
and you get to like... You get to see these like, these arcs kind of come to a complete story mm-hmm. that... aren't necessarily part of the overarching, like, the whole plot of the game necessarily. Like, they're not, you could do the story without them, but you get these big, like, these big arcs for everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I was like, yeah.
It was really cool, like, just thinking about BioWare and just games in general's, like, approach to... are you defining, like, I don't know, like choice matters as like a as kind of like a almost a discoursey mechanical framework. You describing like at least Dragon Age Origins versus Mass Effect is like this really interesting, I think, duality of that, like, what does it mean to make a game where your choices matter, right? Kind of Dragon Age Origins is like a whole city could just blow up. And then now for like, I could be playing a game where I've come back to that dwarven city multiple times or whatever. Right. And you're like, right. Oh yeah, no, that's just like not there anymore. Like two games later, I just,
right.
You're experiencing a whole fucking culture that I can't anymore. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
But then it's like in Mass Effect, it's the exact opposite. It's like so many small
choices
what
we were
matter
saying.
That like, right. It's like your shepherd is so different than my shepherd, even though we are going through the exact same plot points in the exact same world, basically.
Sure. Right.
And that's so there can be that shared experience where it's everybody knows the moment Morden died. Whereas, like, in Dragon Age, it's like, what did you do at the Landsmeet? Or, like, who sacrificed themselves to the demon? Like, What was it, Alistair or Shroud or Hawk like, you know, like those are the things rather than we all saw Morden die.
Right.
We all like that happened to us all.
Yeah.
Uniquely. Mm-hmm. It's and the choices are about like, how did you get there and how does your Shepard take it, like, and how, what was their relationship at the time that it happened, and, like, did Shepard do the right thing leading up to it? Like, those are the choices that Mass Effect is giving me most of the time, and it's really, it's just very interesting in that it is a thing that is less common in Dragon Age, where you have a shared moment where, like, this thing is the thing that happened.
Yeah.
And it's so big. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And it, like, I think that's also why I brought up Disco Elysium as, like, a similar thing to Mass Effect, where it's like you have this moment that's very important, but it's more about, like, what was your Harry? Like, who was your Harry when that happened? What did you actually did you talk to? What was your relationship to Kim? Like, it's all these, like, character things that all led to the same plot point in a very different, like, controlled way. Versus, like, Fallout New Vegas, which, like, I think is on the Dragon Age side, where, like, so many things can be possible that it's, like, what was the combination
it's hard to be like,
of events that led to the end that you got, rather than, like, who was your courier? Which I know is, like, important, but it's, like, different, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I totally agree. Yeah.
Anyway, it was cool. Just talking about RPGs. It was fucking crazy. You know?
No, it's great. It's great. It's the best. This was a big moment because Mass Effect is hard to, I mean, Vidi, you yourself haven't played Mass Effect 1. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
And it's like Mass Effect is a hard trilogy because it is a trilogy. First and foremost, it has these minor stories that are fun, but 3 is now, it's like this storyline that we've had since Mass Effect 1 is now done. This storyline that we've had since Mass Effect 2 is now done. This character is back. This person is back. This person isn't back because they died, all this. Whereas in the Dragon Ages, it is the stories are the games because it's so it's more contained in that way.
But
Mass Effect is hard because the cell is hard for me. Dragon Age, I'm always like, hey, listen, you can start with Inquisition, but it's better if you play, go from Origins and then 2 and then do Inquisition. But with Mass Effect, it's like, you have to start in 1. And 1 is, warning, not a good game.
Yeah.
It's a good story, but it's not a good game. Then you have to do 2. 2 is fantastic game, but it is built to Mass Effect 3, which is, and it's like, it's a
very
hard,
big prequel now that I'm, now that I know, it's just a very big prequel.
I know. And it's great. It's really, it's such an interesting way to do a video game story. Yeah. It's like, you have to do some slog. I find the same with fucking, it's different, but Final Fantasy 14, where it's like, you gotta get through the slog of ARR before it starts getting really, really good in this other game. And yeah, I don't know. It's good though. It's a great game.
It's a great game.
It's good. It's a great game.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. We are in the multiplayer.
Oh, we are. Oh, we have a week where we're just discussing multiplayer. Oh, and I was like, I wonder if Vidi can join us on that.
Because
it's fun and I like it. Because the idea is it's the last week before we go into the finale. So it's the last week we're going to be talking about Mass Effect. We do all of the multiplayer. We finish up every side quest. And we're going to be doing some just like general talking about Mass Effect 3 before we close it out. Like predictions of what's going to happen in the end. Favorite moments so far, all this stuff. Also, did you like the multiplayer? It's fun making your own little character in the universe, huh? That's kind of,
Oh my god. And it's like, oh my god, did you like the multiplayer? Did you enjoy, like, experiencing embodying species that you've only really seen in antagonistic roles?
Yeah.
Which is my favorite trope Robin of anything.
Which is crazy. One of the playable races is Batarians, someone who are exclusively enemies and are now helping everyone because it's like, Batarian, well, the galaxy's going to end. What are we going to do?
There's a Batarian and a Vorcha. Which there I is think a Vorcha. Is like crazy, right? Like,
you play as a Vorcha. Absolutely insane. No, it's cool. I'm really excited to play it. But yeah, so we are going to do the multiplayer eventually. But in the meantime, next week we're going to be doing Priority Citadel 2.
Yeah.
The really second cool. Citadel. And we're going to find what the structure of Act 2 is next week by doing the Citadel. Dylan, you are going to be doing the Attican Traverse.
Yes,
I will.
Attican Traverse post this. You can do any side missions as long as it's not Leviathan, which does start on the Citadel. Warning, I accidentally started it this week.
I think I accidentally started it too, but I didn't.
And then you jumped far out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also Omega, we're not doing this week either.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the Omega DLC. So there's Omega DLC, there is the Leviathan DLC. Shore Leave, which we can't start yet, which is all fine. But it's as many side quests as you want, and priority Citadel DOS.
Beautiful. Did I tell you, I don't think I said it on pod, that I went to the club on the Citadel. What is it called again?
Oh, yeah, Afterlife?
Afterlife. I went there, and James Vega convinced me, a la Iron Bull, to buy everybody drinks.
Yeah, fun. It's cool. Yeah, it's a good little bit. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, you need to connect with your people. And I was like, okay, drinks for everyone? And he was like, perfect.
It's in Freddie Prinze Jr.'s contract that he has
to have a scene like that in any game in Bioware he plays.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. But I know what our what are you going to say?
No, I do. And I need you to lock in with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you want, we can do a call and response, and then
I have a call and response. I need you to lock in and know what I'm trying to go for.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Hey, Robin. Why would you start a video game podcast?
Well, it had to be me. Someone else would have gotten it wrong. Damn it, because I was going to do basically the exact same phrase to you, but I wanted you to cry during you saying it.
Oh. No, I thought of that 10 minutes ago, and I was going to fist fight you through the screen to make it happen.
And I was like, oh my god. Also, so quickly, we do have a last little thing, because just as we go to sleep after Tuchanka, we have another dream.
Oh, another nightmare!
And in this nightmare, you are going to hear a bunch of Ashley dialogue. I hear a bunch of Caden dialogue.
I heard a bunch of Caden dialogue and Morden Solas dialogue.
Fascinating.
I heard a bunch of Morden Solas dialogue that he was saying to me. It was deeply fucked. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Fascinating. Well, there you go. That's our game, baby. The game, baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
God. Let's get out of here.